Miley Cyrus, Flowers for Nolig Naman. I wonder, does she know about Nolig Naman, Miley Cyrus? I doubt it very much. Jan Brearden, good afternoon.
Hello, Ray.
Now, Nolig Naman, is it something that would have been big in your house growing up?
Not really, actually, no. No, my mother-in-law used to always send me a text message on the 6th of January saying, Happy Nolig Naman. I'd be like, what's she going on about?
Is she a country woman?
She lived in Clare, yeah. Yes. Yeah, so I think that was it now. But in the last few years now, I've been embracing it just as a day of
I think it's the emphasis has changed, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's like, you know, the girls like an excuse for a bit of an ease up. And I think, you know, women are kind of embracing it and using it as a, you know, another reason to kind of hook up and celebrate each other. Yeah. And yeah.
Because, you know, back in the day, and this is, when I say back in the day, it's only about 20 years ago. It was about, you know, that women did everything over Christmas and now Christmas was behind them so they could take a day off. Yeah. And the men were supposed to do everything at home just for that one day out of 365 days of the year.
That cancelled out all the other days, that one day.
quaint.
Yeah.
But then look, there were special papers for girls in the Leaving Cert and
it's wild, isn't it?
Yeah. Surprisingly, you have a poem.
I wrote you a poem especially for today.
Yeah.
It's called Women's Christmas. Well, it's not for you, I suppose, right?
No, me not being a woman.
It's for all the women. So here we go. Women's Christmas by Jan Brearden. It's been 12 endless days since the last big occasion, filled with lunches and dinners and New Year's celebration. There's still some chocolates left, but they're all orange and pink, and there's laundry to do and dirty cups in the sink. That tree needs to be stripped and your inbox is full. Leave it all till tomorrow. Too much work makes you dull. Today is for renewal and uplifting epiphanies, for kitchen dancing with friends to Madonna and Tiffany. The burnt out, overwhelmed, the anxious and grieving join together this day to support and find meaning. So have one last little hoolie with your women, your crew. Today you're the occasion. The occasion is you.
Go on.
Go on, the women.
Go on.
For the little women's Christmas. No, it's not little women's Christmas. Sure, it's not. It's women's little Christmas.
Because I suppose, as it was back in the day, it wouldn't have been viewed very favourably by feminists.
Oh, yeah. And I think even now, I think a lot of people find it quite patronising. Mm. Now, I don't, because I still, it's funny, I was thinking about this, you know, in terms of feminism and everything. And it's like, I still accept all of the traditional roles that are often associated with being a woman or a mother or whatever else. I accept those and I'm at peace with those. But I also don't feel that it's exclusively for, you know, the woman in the home to do them and stuff. So I don't know what kind of a feminist I am. I was saying I think I'm a realist feminist.
Uh-huh.
A feelist, maybe.
Yes.
And I do say that I see feelings and I write them in
the poems. So you have aspirations and ideals, but you live in the real world.
Thanks very much. Yes, that's me. Always living in the real world. Nowhere else.
Yeah. Because, you know, I remember doing a thing years ago and looking up research. And at the time, this is about 10, 15 years ago, the top three things that couples argue over was the divvy up of domestic duties.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah.
And I think the final one was, if they had children, disciplining children.
Wow. Yeah.
But the divvy up of domestic chores was a big one.
Yeah, I think I remember... Remember someone saying to me, even when I was pregnant with my daughter, if you can just accept that you're going to be doing 99% of the work, you'll be grand. Just like lower your expectations. Do you know what? Again, I think it's just, it's time poor, isn't it? It's like, so with all the other things that, you know, we are able to do, you know, work the same, play hard, earn just as much money, do, you know, lift as heavy weights and that kind of thing. I suppose... You know, like with all that, you still have this mental load of and the emotional load of like the home and your kids and your aging parents and stuff. And
yeah.
I suppose I'm accepting that that's just something that's
okay
there as well, you know.
So you don't fight it?
No, I don't fight it. No.
Yeah.
I mean, like the arguments then over, you know, like loading dishwashers and, you know, like the small little things, you know, I mean.
But they say the people who know, Jan.
Do they?
It's actually never really about the small little things.
Well,
it's about something else.
That's true.
I don't know. Sometimes it is about the small little things. Just load the feckin' dishwasher.
Just do it proper.
That's another thing completely, because everybody has their own way of doing it.
I do rearrange. I'm not going to lie. Yeah,
now, that would be slightly annoying, I think.
I mean, nobody knows that I've rearranged because I've also closed the door and turned the thing on.
Ah, right, okay.
So
you rearrange.
So it makes me feel better.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So you don't rearrange in the company of the person who's put them in.
God,
No,
because, you know, it's all done in goodwill. And,
Okay. So where do you stand on New Year's resolutions?
I'm not a fan. I mean, I don't think there's any harm in, you know, I suppose striving, you know, for something positive in your life. But I hate all the messaging that you get around this time of year that, you know, you can be a better version of you. This idea of new year, new you. Like I say, it's new year, now you. It's like, yes, it's a time to kind of make an intention for yourself, but you don't need to be a new version of yourself. You know, you're grand the way you are. And I also think, like, there's so much pressure on you, isn't there, between, you know, exercising and eating the right thing and going to bed at the right time, whatever. Just go easy. Like, go easy in
on yourself.
January, I think.
Go easy on yourself.
Go easy on yourself.
There
yeah,
you go. That's, yeah. That should be the New Year's resolution. Go easy. Yeah. Self-compassion.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think this idea that, you know, you'll be better if you ... It's like, well, I'm all right. Like, I'm all right. So I usually pick a word every year.
Do you?
I kind of use that word to be my team.
Oh, right. Now we're onto something. So it's not really, it's a New Year's word.
Yeah. And again, it's just kind of like honouring kind of myself at the beginning
okay.
of the year.
Right, go on.
So I've had surrender. That was a good year. Surrender was a good year. Now, a lot of horrible stuff happened, but I don't know. It was like I gave myself permission.
Acceptance,
to
was
let it?
It
happen.
Yes,
yeah.
Right.
Share was another one. And that was the year that I wrote the poem, my very first poem.
Right.
And I was
all
about sharing.
Oh, sharing, yes.
And this year I've picked two words.
Right.
And it's open wide.
Open
wide. So, I mean, it could be many things, really, couldn't it? I'd be going to the dentist a lot. Gynecologist, possibly. But,
open wide, okay.
Open wide. Do you know what, Ray? I'm walking into the new year with my arms open
wide.
Open
wide,
yes. And I'm taking on every opportunity that presents itself to me.
I like that because it's not specific. Because if you get into New Year's resolutions and you make a specific demand on yourself and then you don't honour that, then you're disappointed in yourself. That's never good.
Yeah, like on the 17,000th day of January, because let's be honest, it goes on forever, you know, and you haven't met that thing that you set yourself on the 2nd or on Little Christmas or whatever day it was, you just feel like it's already a failure.
Right.
Or you're, you know,
already a failure. That's not good.
You know?
You've written another poem.
Yeah.
Well, you've written a lot of poems. Jan Brereton is a poet, so that's what she does. So this pertains to the new year. Does it?
Yeah. This one's it's in the book, actually. And this one's called Precious Thing. And again, it's just, you know, it's about being all right. So here we go. This year, be a precious thing. Eat all of the cake. Drink the tonic and gin. Or the wine or the water or the cucumber juice. Do whatever you need to help you produce feelings of calm and thoughts of I'm good. Run or fast walk every day around your hood. You might just brush your hair, tie it into a bun, or spray on your false tan to get milk up and duns. Tidy your house if you like. Don't bother if not. There's no shame in not being a what's-her-name swat. Marie Kondo sparks joy, folding things, filling presses, and colour coordinating all of our favourite dresses. Your joy might be sparked by the gym or the sofa. Sparkly stiletto high heels or flat leather loafers. You might stretch your body on a mat in a class, or perhaps you find solace in the silence at mass. There's no 7 steps to a new year, new you. You're grand as you are. You know just what to do. Don't say yes, sure, when you really mean no. And don't go to that dinner if you don't want to go. Close your eyes to the past as this new year begins. Go easy. Be honest. Be your own precious thing.
That's lovely. That's lovely.
Thanks.
Now, you've 20 seconds. You've used this show before to manifest. And
yes.
It worked on John Cooper Clark. What do you want to manifest for 2025? And you've now 15 seconds.
Glastonbury 2025.
Right.
On the Poetry and Words stage. I've said it here.
Yeah, so do you have to apply or
send I do. I have to say, I've done it twice before and I haven't gotten it. So
right,
it could
okay.
be third time lucky.
Right, and John Cooper Clark. Well, now you have him in your CV.
That's
John
this
Brereton,
year
Happy
too.
New Year.
Oh, thanks, Ray.
You
happy
precious
New Year,
thing.
Everyone.
Thank you very much. That's it from us. We're back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday evening.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.